Assalamu alaikum, that is peace be unto you, and welcome to an Islamic point of view. This morning lecture is given by Imam, the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, entitled A Message for All People.
Is the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets, God's messenger, God's servant, and his messenger. He is our example for good behavior and for good character and for productive work that Allah created every human being for. Hence, God says, Muhammad is a model, is an excellent model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. This is what God says to us in our holy book, the Quran. So Muhammad is not just a model for Muslims, he's a model for human beings, for all people, a model for any who believes in God and believes in being accountable to God. And Allah, God says of him again, so that we'll know he's for all people, God says, Muhammad is a mercy to all mankind. Rahmatan lil-nas wa rahmatan lil-alameen. A mercy to all the worlds. This is Muhammad. So we cannot make this religion small. It's not small. Maulana Maududi, perhaps the most popular of the recent reformers, scholars who reform, who bring Muslims back from deviations, who bring Muslims back from a dull life to have enthusiasm and drive, reformer. Maulana Maududi said on Mount Arafat some years back, I happened to be there myself, long time ago, must have been 40 years ago, and Maulana Maududi learned that the son of Elijah Muhammad was making a Hajj, and was on Mount Arafat at the time, so he told his people to go to the son of Elijah Muhammad and tell him, I invite him to come to my tent. I did. I came to his tent. Pakistanis always have big numbers in the Hajj. I came to his tent, and when I walked up to him, he greeted me and asked me to sit near him. I sat near him. And then he began to speak to those who were in his tent. There were many, and he said, Islam is a religion or an ideology for the reformation or the reform of the whole world. And that means Islam is a universal message. It's for all people. It's for all lands, all nations, all people. And if we understand the Christianity, it is the same. It is a message to all people of the world. Amen. And the Jewish scripture, though it's not propagated like Christians and Muslims propagate our religion, our faith, but Judaism also is a religion, a guidance from God to all people, not just Jews, to all people. And it was Judaism that was extended to the world of the Europeans and others, to the whole world, by Jewish leaders. And as a result, there's a new mission, a the New Testament. So we can't separate these groups. We speak of them as Abrahamic faiths. We all identify Adam as our first father in the human nature, and we identify Abraham, called Ibrahim in our holy book, Abraham as the second father. And these three faiths identify Father Abraham and Father Adam. Actually, if we understand it, Father Adam extends as a creation, he extends into Abraham on another plane, and a second father comes out of him. Second father comes out of Adam, out of the essence of Adam comes a second father. And that's understandable if we understand Jesus in Christian teachings being the second Adam, a second Adam. We may differ somewhat with the number where it's placed, but Jesus is second in the ascension, in the ascension, or the essence of the human soul, as ascending upward to gain more and all of its life that God wants for it. So it is life expanding, life rising up, as God says, and he has created us as a plant that's first a little seed like a dead thing under the soil or under the earth, and it comes out and it grows upward until it reaches its fullness or its maturity or its fullness as a life, completeness as a life. And God says in the parable of human life is the parable of a plant, or that of a plant, meaning it starts from nothing. You can't hardly see it. It's in the bird in the earth. Our children, they start in our mother's bodies and the bodies of their mothers, and we don't even know they're there until she tells us. And we don't see it for 9 months or until it reaches the stage when it wants to get out of that small confine and get into this big world of ours. Then we see it, and it kind of turns over just before it comes out. It's sitting up, and then it turns over, puts its head down and comes right out. Says, unless you become as little babes, huh? So that means we have to stop standing up so straight and so rigid. And we have to humble ourselves to the fullest extent before our Maker, the Lord Creator of everything. That's what religion is all about. It is about being complete in your recognition of God. If you recognize Him, then be complete in that recognition. Don't put your small time thing before your duty to God. Yes, our religion says, in the holy book, in our holy book, save yourselves and your families from fire. This fire is the fire of human passions. Script writers called poets, they have, since time began, I guess, for writers, they have always referred to human passions as fire. And our singers in our recent time, they sang songs of that fire. And they call love a flame. a strong passion, a strong appetite. We have to save ourselves from the fires. Now, isn't it something how man can become scientific and know all about human nature? He knows the science of blood, bones, the heart, everything, the eyes, the science of sexuality, and a fine woman can make him nothing but a dog. It doesn't have to be a fine woman in everybody's eyes, just a fine woman in his eyes. Take him down to the dog. So that tells you that we need something bigger than man to save us. Especially in these times when life is all about styling. We need something bigger in our lives, bigger than styling. Many of us don't know we're styling. Now, I used to wear an FOI suit. And believe me, when I put it on, I just felt different. I felt like my manhood woke up in me or something. You know? I felt like I had authority I didn't have before. And I was styling. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that I quote him now, my job is not so much to teach you religion, but to put you in a dress, a decent dress. See, God came to dress us up. Yes, that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said. And really, if you understand dress, when you are born from mama, no clothes have been put on you. The doctor got you, or the nurse took you, or you delivered, and there's the baby naked. You say the baby is naked. Why do we wear clothing? We wear clothing because we are naked in our own minds. The horse come here dressed up for cold weather, whatever. But we don't. We don't come here dressed up. We come here naked in our minds. But now just look again. What is the clothing for? What is clothes for? Clothing is a protection. Clothing protects me from bad weather. Clothing protects me from exposure, from exposing myself to everybody. So it's a private thing. It helps me preserve my privacy, and I want to look good in my clothing. So you buy nice clothing, you should. You want to look good in your clothing. But what we have to understand is that the first clothing is the clothing of human life. Human life. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. Human life in its innocence and in its purity. No wonder the question was asked to Adam in Genesis of the Bible. Who told you were naked? And in our Quran is reference to the same situation where God says, and it was the shaitan, the devil, the first deceiver, and the worst of all deceivers. It was that one that seduced you and your mate to come out of the original clothing that God put you in. And says, and that was the clothing of righteousness. The clothing of righteousness. So what is that saying? Righteousness is not something a preacher has to give you, preaching the Bible. Righteousness is something that you were created with. You were created to be righteous. Righteous. Righteousness is your nature. It's an inherent quality that we are born with. The need and the drive to be correct, truthful, clean, decent, trustworthy, righteous, righteousness, sincere. Yes, that's all in the baby, in the nature of the baby, the baby's nature. When the baby is born, he's born already with all of that. There was a time in the history of criminology in the United States that I read of as a student studying for this job I got, when criminology in the United States had taken a backward move and was believing, just it didn't last long, believing that if they would sterilize, kill the nature to reproduce in the criminal, kill it by sterilizing them, that they would save society from criminals that would be born from criminals. They soon established that that was incorrect, was false. And they said that criminology cannot come from a parent to a child. So it's learned. It's not inborn. It's not born with the baby. It's learned from the world, learned in the world. Now, many of us perhaps are not living to go to heaven. But you should be. And let me tell you something. You've already been in heaven. When you were in your mother, you were in heaven. And when you came before the world, tarnished you, or left its bad influences on you, you were in heaven. And whether you believe it or not, took me all these years, but I'm in heaven. I was in heaven as a baby before the world influenced my thinking and my nature, and I'm in heaven again because I found the way back to heaven. And when you hear God says, and to him you must return, he only means return to the person that he created. Return means, like to say, I wish my child would come back. You're talking about one who left the church, or one who left the mosque, the temple, or whatever. And it hurts you that they're gone, and they're leaving that lifestyle that you love them in, make you feel as though you lost them. And you say, I just pray God all the time that my child will come back to me. So you mean come back to that life that made him pleasant in your eyes and made you so that you didn't have to worry so much about his well-being. Yes, you want him to return to that. So we have to get rid of a lot of mystery. Mystery wastes time. This world is too fast, going too fast for us to be held up with mysteries. Heaven, where is heaven? We know where heaven is when we understand what the meaning of heaven is. We think of the heavens as the sky. We look up, the sky. What does that mean? Heaven is more advanced than all that I see around here. Heaven is elevated, high. Elevated high. Heaven is established high. High in the sense of meaning, substance, and also quality. Quality. So if you can accept this for me on this day in the city that I was born in, some of you all want to take away my birthright. Oh, your mama's from Chicago. He lives in Chicago. That's his home. I thought the place where a child was born is also his home. And he should never lose that home. Yes. Yes. So, yes, I was born in Detroit, and Detroit is my home. And my father was redeemed in Detroit. And became a new person, a new man, and did wonderful things and earned the title Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Yes. And I'm just continuing his good works. He said his main job is to put us in a dress. And he said a decent dress. Now that you have heard me comment on what is the real meaning of dress, he means put you in a decent lifestyle. Put you in an honorable, decent lifestyle. Now, some tricks of psychology begins concerning dress might begin for us with the sisters wearing the dress that I see a few wearing right now, the headpiece and the dress, white long dress covering her whole body except her face. But for the brothers, it began with shine your shoes. Do not come to the temple with shoes that are not shine. And if we smell you while we're searching you, and you know we're going to be up close to you to search you, and you know you're not going to get into the meeting without being searched, if we smell you, we might send you home and tell you to take a bath. And put a crease in those pants. Respect yourself. And respect this house that you're coming to. Wear your decent clothes. Now, we thought that was all about black nationalism, Nation of Islam style. But no, when you read the Quran, God says, and wear your beautiful apparel at every place and time of prayer or masjid. That's what he says in the Quran. So that's also the requirement in Islam before Mr. Farad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad ask us to clean up ourselves and wear our beautiful dress when we come to prayer or when we come to the temple for service or for worship. What I'm saying to you is that we had a lot of help from Mr. Farrar and from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We had a lot of help to get where we are today. A lot of help in more ways than you know. A lot of help to your leader now that you say is your leader, W.D. Muhammad. I call him my imam too, Imam W.D. Muhammad. We had a lot of help to get him where he is now, and to bring him along a path of progression and progress to come into the Quran, not as an import from Saudi Arabia or from Egypt or Pakistan or somewhere, but as a natural growth in the soil of the United States of America, made suitable for that growth by W.D. Farrar and Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad put us in a new dress. There was a student at the time he was doing his dissertation for his PhD. His name is Asian Udum. He was African. Long time ago, this was before Malcolm got popular. And he asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, for my dissertation that I'm writing for PhD, can I interview some of the ministers and some of the regular followers? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave him permission. He interviewed me, he interviewed other ministers, he interviewed Minister James Shabazz. Before he passed, we called him Sheikh James Shabazz. He interviewed him, he interviewed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he interviewed a lot. And he came to the conclusion after he studied the following and temple of Islam or nation of Islam, Allah honor Elijah Muhammad, he came to the conclusion that the honor Elijah Muhammad's main work was the work of bringing African Americans into a new culture. A new culture. Another word for culture is dress, isn't it? Into a new culture, or into a new cultural dress. That was his conclusion. Now, let me come back to dress. I spent a lot of time on dress. Because your dress have become so inflammable. You're on fire, most of you. Most of you I see in the streets, you just burning all the time. On just in flames, engulfed in flames. Because you're wearing volatile clothing. Well, anyway, when you think of dress, how dress influences personality, how it influences ego. Ego. It can make a guy that had no enthusiasm, had no strength in him to stand up straight. He goes sad and droopy, yeah, dull. You put him in a uniform, and you don't have to give him a gun or a weapon. Just put him in a uniform and put some medals up here on his chest and stuff. And that guy perk up. Oh, fellas, come on, fella. When I was a little boy, about 8 or 9 years old, there was a corner near us, a busy corner.
You've been listening to An Islamic Point of View this week featuring Imam W.D. Muhammad, Part 1. Next week we will present Part 2 of A Message to All the World. Reminding you that the Muslim Community Center of Portland is the producer of this program.
Hi, I'm John Shack, host of Progressive Spirit. Yemeni activist Dr. Aisha Juman and Muhammad al-Nimr speak boldly and clearly about Saudi war crimes and U.S. complicity.
The U.S. government supports them by refueling the air jets that bomb Yemen today. And they also give them intelligence and logistical support. And of course, they sell them arms.
Listen to weekly podcasts on kboo.fm/progressive spirit.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Divination Foundation, dedicated to helping people and organizations make better decisions with modern online and app versions of the I Ching, the book Great Decisions, Perfect Timing, and Pathways podcasts, all featured at divination.com. That's spelled D-I-V-I-Nation.com.